This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by 225 of the raddest people on the goddamn planet. If you would like to become one of them, go to patreon.com/jury or do your best and thank a patron today. Wink! Man, we had to go twice in a week because we had the delay. Back up in this bitch like what? This is your old pal, Justin Robert Young. They call me Jury. They do. They do. Listen, man, I ain't lying to you. I ain't telling you tales out of school. You know, why do they call me Jury? I don't know. Bunch of letters or some shit. I ain't the government. I'm not required by law to tell you everything in my fucking life. Why you got to get all up in my face? This is a very defensive beginning to the program. See if we can center it. Let's center it a little bit. Deep breath, and exhale.
I was too busy blocking out the haters.
All right, deep breath.
Oh, yes!
Okay, we're doing good, we're doing good. Let's get a little bit more deep breath.
Oh, you didn't know?
All right, one more, and I feel like we're ready to begin the show. Deep breath.
Hey.
Oh, a little bit of a stutter there, but we got it. We got it going on like Donkey Kong. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We got a show for you today. I'm not going to promise you it's going to be a good one, because I don't know if it's going to be a good one. This is going to be, hopefully, a little bit more fun, a little bit more playful, you know? This is going to be something that we are going to be able to, you know, we are going to be able to bring the kind of comedy, the kind of insight that you need in your life to make it through another week. That's why I'm here for you. I'm here to do whatever I can. If you were to go ahead and tell me, Justin, this is what I need of you. Fucking if you need me, call me. I'll be there in a hurry. You don't need to worry. Because Chat Realm, Diamond Club, there ain't no mountain high enough. Let me start here at the top. I have some questions about why. All right, here. Let me just put this out here. Seriously. What do we fucking expect of Brian Williams? If you're unfamiliar with who Brian Williams is, let me clue you in. He's the lead anchor on NBC Nightly News. Man goes out there every good goddamn day and does what God intended him. To have salon quality hair and read the news. By and large, he doesn't necessarily get out there and report shit, right? Just kind of sitting behind a desk. Has a, as all news anchors do, a fucking massive head. Anybody who's on television has a huge head. This is something that you might not realize until you run into people on television. All right? You need to see these people because their heads are built for television. They're not built for real life. You would, this motherfucker walks down the goddamn street and people are like, what fucking crescent moon faced freakazoid is troping around Manhattan? This motherfucker looks like he should be up on a cloud singing about McDonald's. That's a reference only three people will get. If you do, post a link in the comments or the chat room. So what do we expect from him? We expect for him to tell us the news. Things happen. I turn on the TV. Someone's going to tell me about him. He's going to sit very pretty right next to other graphics indicating what we are about to talk about. Trouble in Southeast Asia today as rioting continued. That's what we expect of that dude. We don't expect him to go out there and report. We don't expect him to go out there and suss out the truth. We expect him to say things that other people report with authority. If somebody in NBC News went out there and started lying about a bunch of shit, and they said he looked at the camera, which I'm sure he's had to do before. Just a real quick correction before we sign off for the day. It turns out that meat is not actually a liquid. We regret the error. Signing off on Brian Williams. Like, he's done that before. He said lies on the air that were given to him, and then he's told us, well, we got it wrong. And that's it. We move on. Because we understand that this dude isn't the one going out there and getting the fucking news himself. So, what do we expect of Brian Williams? That comes into direct conflict with what has brought him shame. I don't know. I don't know if anything I expect of Brian Williams is changed by the fact that he has proved himself to be a bit of a liar blowhard. Why is he a liar blowhard? If you don't know what I'm talking about, Brian Williams, head anchor of NBC Nightly News. And by the way, an all-around well-liked guy. A dude for whom a lot of people seem to have some affection for. He's also a very funny guy. He's appeared on 30 Rock a bunch of times. He's been on. He's been a host on Saturday Night Live. He very often was on Jimmy Fallon's show. Jimmy Fallon has written bits around him. So, he told a story and has been telling a story for years about this one time in Iraq. Anyway, you guys, so like this one time in Iraq, I was in a helicopter. And next thing you know, there's some rocket-propelled grenades. And they're shooting, and we're flying. And next thing you know, we had to land the helicopter, you guys. So we told that story. Turns out it ain't true. He was in Iraq. There were helicopters, and there was a helicopter forced down by rocket-propelled grenades. Unfortunately, it was the helicopter he was behind, or he was behind, one in front of him, that had everything happen, and then they landed the helicopter behind that helicopter. Now, if you're in a fucking helicopter, and there's rocket-propelled grenades flying around, and they're like, holy shit, there's grenades, and they land the helicopter, like, I don't know how much he's supposed to know of which helicopter it was, but let's go ahead and give him the worst case scenario. No benefit of the doubt and say he's a goddamn liar. He just straight out lied. He made himself look good at the expense of military veterans on duty, either active duty or now veterans of the Iraq War. Because this happened years ago. And don't give me this horse shit of like, you know, television news is really falling down a hole. Because I think we've talked about this on this show before. I don't want to get, this is one of my fucking rants. This is one, Uncle Justin, don't get a few fucking highballs in him. He'll sit chain smoking Marlboros and telling you his fucking television news has always been shitty routine. Fuck you, give me the fucking lighter. Television news was never good. You're going to tell me that back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, when we had no internet, no way for sources or conflicting mediums to reflect and react on a story, that there was instantaneous feedback, or there was no instantaneous feedback, so people could understand whether or not what they just watched was actually legitimate, or if it was just somebody making up some shit. You're telling me that the golden age of television news just happened to be at this time when there was no accountability? Just happened to be in this time when no one could say shit? Just happened to be in this time when the maximum amount of recourse that somebody could have if they were just slandered by a national media source for which was way more culturally resonant because there was only so many places to watch television, that this golden age happened to take place then? They happened to just be totally clean and way more honorable and not making shit up? Okay, that makes sense. It's not because we don't know, right? It's not because we can't tell if Walter Cronkite was fucking lying his ass off because the situations that he was talking about were not able to react to him in the way that they do now. Okay. You're right. Makes sense. Psst, psst, psst. That's me putting out the cigarette. Although I feel like I lost that impression about halfway through. Seriously, like, what do we want? What do we want? What do we want out of fucking Brian Williams? He's just a dude saying the news. Like, and also nobody's watching. Why do we feel good about picking on this dude's job is going away? Whoever takes over, like, notice how he didn't have a fucking a person in waiting. You want to know why? Because NBC News didn't want to pay somebody close to what they were paying Brian Williams to not go somewhere else for bigger money. Back in the day, every anchor had somebody in waiting just in case they retired and they needed to get replaced quickly. Because you had the money to throw around to put a backup quarterback on the bench. Now there's not, because the fucking news doesn't make money. Nobody gives a shit about the nightly news anymore. It's just fucking useless. Cord Killer in the chat room, 78105, says it's about stolen valor. That it's not so much of him lying, it's about him taking credit. He's a shitbag! I mean, do we not expect our fucking television news anchors to be shitbags? A little bit? Right? Huh? They have to be choir boys? They have to be these... You want to know what? This is going to go another segment. I'm going to do two segments on this. I'll be right back. All right, so we got a bunch of other stuff we're going to talk about today. I got a politics thing. I'm going to talk about Ice Cube for some reason, and we're going to come back and talk more about what we expect of not just Brian Williams, but of journalists in general. So music is going to come from somebody who emailed it in. The band's called Pretty Perfect. Apparently they're not around no more, but I dug their sound. So this is the song. These are the songs we're going to play today. All right. Fun. Peace. You can pick up this shit at prettyperfect.bandcamp.com. I don't know if the band's still together or where the money's going to go, but even if you're throwing it in a pit, you're throwing it in a pit for art. Art, my friends. For those of you who just know me as some wild animal who barks on the internet, there was a time where I used to wear human clothing. I used to have a dream of a legitimate, respectable job that would not only honor my collegiate degree, but also my mother and family. It was a job called newspaper journalist. Oh, man, look at that. I could have been somebody. Now I'm just on here fucking doing celebrity jizz impressions on the internet for cash. I'm fucking one level below a cam girl at this point. What the fuck happened to me? Walter Matthau. So what do we expect of journalists? This is something that I often thought of when I was a reporter. You know, people get really, really angry at journalists because I think there is an expectation that journalists are truth robots. Journalists go out into the field. Beep, bop, boop, I am a truth robot. They find facts. I will now talk to the sources. They talk to sources. Two conflicting stories. I will now synthesize. Beep, bop, boop, boop, beep. And what comes out of their butt is fact. I have determined that the facts of the matter are these. They put it on TV. They put it in the magazines. They put it in the newspaper. They put it on the blogs. And that's how we know what is true and what is not true in the world. Well, folks, if that is what you think, then allow me to be the first one to tell you, you are living a lie. A lie! A house of lies! Because it's not that simple. No, folks, no, journalists are not truth robots. They have no more innate bullshit sense than you do. They are only there to do their best job, to go around, find facts, synthesize them as best they can, and put them in the paper. They don't find the truth. They don't create the indelible record that we live our lives by. Now, there are shitty journalists. Don't get me wrong. There certainly are ways to do a bad job at it. And making up stories wholesale is probably the biggest niche, as Bruno would say. But they're not monks. They are fallible. There are ways to get had. There are ways to be better at it, but there's not any kind of trial by fire that you go through. You know, there's no perfect way to go about everything. So when we talk about Brian Williams, even if Brian Williams was someone like, Christian Amanpour or Anderson Cooper, people who at least put on airs to go out and do original reporting. There's only so much I feel like we can expect from them. And a lot of this righteous anger about it, like this, you lied to me and now I feel like you deserve to be smited kind of stuff. I just feel like it's more about us than it is about them. Like, unless you're Stephen Glass, unless you're Jason Blair, unless you're guys that are just straight out fucking fabricating the truth, which usually, by the way, is an indication that there are larger problems in this person's life. Alcoholism, drug abuse. Hey, quick sidebar. Do you know that Jason Blair is now a life coach? Do you know that that perfectly summarizes what I think about life coaches? Back to the story. It's when this covenant, which has been only made one way, from the viewership to the product, is broken, that you get this kind of righteous fury. And that's what's being broken down right now in this internet age. Because I think part of the reason why we invested journalists with such holy power, or at least such a gigantic, bar to clear in terms of always being on the side of truth, justice, and the American way, is because they used to have way more power. Old media had a tremendous amount of power. You can't float on water, McFly. You need more power. And that's what the three major television stations and the major newspapers that dotted America absolutely had. There was no way to get back at them. Until the one day, everything changed. Let me go ahead and find that day, because before that day, there was this curiosity. There was this fun little thing called the internet. Oh, is it cute? Oh, it's adorable. You know, my kid just got the internet. You go in these chat rooms and talk to other people. I swear, man, it's far out. Until one day. That was in 1998. The year was 1998. And the man was Matt Drudge. Newsweek spiked a story about how Monica Lewinsky was... the person that she was to Bill Clinton. Newsweek was going to write about it. They decided to spike it. They couldn't handle it. Which, by the way, shows the inherent corruption of old media. Matt Drudge published it. Now, whatever you think of that story and whatever you think of the politics there, what I want you to focus on is the power dynamics. Does anybody think that the world would have been a better place if the people in power did not know that their misdeeds could be exposed, regardless of party or affiliation? Because if you do think that it was better when they lived in silence, when they lived in their own little cove where they could just buddy up to an editor or a publisher or a writer and their misdeeds could be buried forever... Well, then we fundamentally disagree on some things. Because for whatever you think of Matt Drudge, and I think that all opinions are valid on Matt Drudge, and whatever you think about Bill Clinton, and whatever you think about Newsweek, at the end of the day, there was a shot heard round the world there. Some things don't stay buried now. Some things come back. Some things get leaked. All you need to do is have one person pissed off at you and something you thought was private is now public. We're going to talk about him a little bit later, but go ahead and ask the homie Mitt Romney what he thinks about people that are pissed off at him leaking some stuff. Now, at the same time, does anybody think that we are in a better world if what Mitt Romney says behind closed doors to big money donors is a better world? Because if you do, we have some fundamental disagreements. And I would also like to point out that if you cherry pick between the two and say, oh, it was bad for Bill Clinton, but it was good for Mitt Romney, then just understand that you might be looking at things in a bit of a political lens. And I think it's great. I think it is such a great world now. It's such an amazing world. It's a golden age of journalism. A golden age. We know more accurately right now. We have a greater volume of better information than we ever have in history. Because the truth is not synthesized by robots. The truth is revised. The truth is peer-reviewed. The truth is fact-checked. Sometimes the truth is leaked by Matt Drudge or by Jimmy Carter's nephew or some shit. But if it's fact-checked and other things come from it, then that little inane piece of information that we might have thought is petty or stupid ultimately was a huge stepping stone toward bringing us closer to understanding our natural world. We're going to talk politics. Man, this is going to be a pretty politically heavy show. Sorry for everybody who hates politics. I understand some people hate politics. This is just going to be one of those political episodes, and we are going to talk more about the lay of the land for presidential politics after this. This is, again, pretty perfect.
This candy, this lovely candy, and it's so shiny, tastes just like cherry, but I'm sure there's something more. So Al, Professor Al, wisest of the foul, I have a question to pose for you.
Man, I miss rock music. Remember when rock music was a thing? Hey, you guys, remember when rock music was a thing? God, it was so good. There used to be these things, kids. All right, now buckle up. There used to be these things called rock radio stations. Oh, it might be like, it's basically like if Spotify only played certain kinds of songs and you couldn't skip and the sound quality was shittier and... No, you want to know what? I don't know. I guess I really don't miss rock radio stations. Here's what I do want to talk about. Wrong thing. Here we go. Here's what I do want to talk about.
Politics, 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 politics. Yes, the Roman Senate.
Oh, man. All right, so we didn't get a chance to do the politics talk last time, but we have some huge news because there was two big stories. All right. So nothing really much on the Democratic front. All's quiet on the Western front. Big shakeup in the GOP front. So what do we want to start with? Mitt. Hit the bricks, Mitt. Mitt Romney says, I ain't going to run for president. There was rumors that he was going to have a little sit down, a little powwow, a little sit. With Jeb Bush. And apparently what came out of that is Mitt says, you want to know what? We're going to fucking murder each other, bro. And if what we really do is want to beat Hillary Clinton, then one of us has to get the fuck out of here and consolidate all of the quote-unquote establishment Republican support behind one dude. There was also a lot of fun stuff that came in around that because we got also stories about how Rupert Murdoch fucking hates Mitt Romney, and that's fun. I guess he likes Jeb Bush. Who knows? Also, whether or not Jeb Bush hates Mitt Romney, who hates who Mitt Romney hates, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I think Mitt Romney is officially out, and I think it is a good thing. That dude had a hard time on definitions. That man, Mitt Romney, as a political candidate, was never really able to get out of the definition that was laid out for him, which is a major problem. Because if I say that you are made of licorice and that dogs run up from the street and try to bite your arm because they smell your licorice wisping through the breeze, then if you don't either make me look dumb for calling you that and say that it reveals my character, or you flat out make it so ridiculous to believe that that could be true, then you are essentially saying, yep, I'm made of licorice. So Barack Obama and Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum before Barack came out and said Mitt Romney is Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. And Mitt Romney didn't really do shit about it. Mitt Romney was kind of like, I don't know. Maybe I am Mr. Burns. Like, privately, I guess he said, well, that's ridiculous. But he didn't say anything publicly, which is really bad. That's like super, super bad. You can't do that. You got to like play the game. And Mitt Romney didn't. And I don't think that he would have done any better on a third run around, because he's not, I don't think he learned that lesson. He also did something really stupid last time where he, by all accounts, is a nice guy. Like, there are a lot of people who have nice things to say about him. The problem is all the people that have really nice things to say about him are Mormon. Like, either they're his close friends who are also Mormon, or people through the Mormon church that he helped. And he was pretty adamant about, like, not having any Mormon shit come out. Which, again, kind of a problem. Because you're coming off like Mr. Burns, like this cold ice golem who's just, like, shooting ice rays out of his hands onto poor people and then kicking them into brittle shards. So if you don't have any counterpoint to that, then you're just going to basically be that. So he was, the rumor was like, no. This time if I run, I'm going to totally say that I'm a Mormon nice guy. It's like, all right, bro. I kind of felt like it was too late. Apparently he did too. He's out. But before I said establishment in quotes, in terms of Jeb Bush, and he will be the establishment candidate because he's got the right name. However, there was something that he did since we last did a politics topic that got my attention. He came out super hard for immigration reform. Now, I don't know if y'all picked up on this over the last couple years. But mainstream conservative thought has not been exceptionally positive on immigration reform. It's been very build a wall, build a wall, build a wall. Not a whole lot of let's have everybody come in and make it easy to immigrate into the United States. So what is he going to do? Because now, if you listen to everybody, they're like, well, he just painted a big fat target on his back. And now when he goes through the primaries, he's going to have everybody shooting at him. And that's true. Everybody is going to unload double barrels, and you're going to see everybody say, that dude's a fucking traitor, and he is selling out Uncle Sam. It's going to be a fucking old yellow journalism cartoon of Jeb Bush fucking cutting a hole in a fence while 90 Mexicans run through, and Uncle Sam just like, like with a fucking hand on his face and like a, I don't know what to do, I'm Uncle Sam kind of face. That's what they're going to act like. But here's where this is different. And if he pulls it off, I would say brilliant. He now has differentiated himself from every other Republican running. I don't know if there's another Republican that's going to be as authoritative as Jeb Bush is as a former governor of a major state on an issue like that, which immigration is a massive issue in Florida, not only because it has a very weird policy with Cubans, but also because they have a very strict policy with Haitians. doesn't have the same problems that Texas or Arizona do in terms of people coming across the border, but it is one that deals with immigration issues. Nobody will have come out as hard as he has right now with the authority he has. So, he now faces a definition problem. Same as Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is the soulless rich asshole. Jeb Bush will be the bleeding heart liberal in conservatives' clothing when it comes to immigration. But if he can survive the primaries by being strong and resolute and saying, hey, listen, you might not agree with what I'm doing, but I have convictions in it, and I can show results based on prior experience in terms of using an immigrant workforce to my advantage, which he can say with the Cubans in Florida, then he has, number one, cleared the first hurdle that he is a sellout to the conservative cause, to his base, and he's got a good calling card to undecided voters that, like, oh, shit, that sounds pretty good. I don't know. Like, if you don't like Hillary, like, this guy doesn't seem like a fucking Republican whack job. I don't know. But he's going to need those. Because for undecided voters, they've already decided on his name twice. So either they liked his brother and they might vote for him, or they fucking hated his brother and they're probably going to hate him just because he's got the same last name. But then again, if Hillary's his opponent, she's got that same problem too. That concludes politics for today. If you have any political issues you'd like me to talk about, go to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Also, thank you to everybody who sent me all of your Australian politics clips. I'm going to do a whole fucking episode on Australian politics, but I'm saving it for one of my bank episodes when I have to go out of town and I got to do a recorded episode. So thank you, and continue to send me Australian politics stuff, because I really want to do a whole thing on that. I'll have Brett in and we'll talk about Australian politics the whole time. One more song from Pretty Perfect, then we'll go into your viewer mail. If you would like to send your mail into this here program, then go ahead and send it on in, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. J-U-R-Y in the subject line. That is J-U-R-Y in the subject line. Our first email comes in from Warcow. Cal writes, allies have been a hot topic in the LGBTQ community for a while now. This is a better talk about allies. I don't like the term allies. I think it's stupid. I think it's stolen valor, to use something that we talked about a little bit earlier today. It is taking credit for something, someone else's struggle, and crediting it to yourself. I believe that you should be defined by your actions and not by a label that you give yourself. If you want to be labeled an ally from the inside of a community out, then that's their opinion, right? But I just find it distasteful when people call themselves it. All right, so here we go. Allies have been a hot topic in the LGBTQ community for a while now, and it has caused a bit of a divide. There's been a movement for a while, which is denigrating cisgendered or heterosexual persons, that they should not get involved in gender rights, or that they can only be silent allies. Then there is a more moderate camp to which I belong, which sees this extremism for what it is, damaging to the cause as a whole. The hashtag die cis scum and fuck the sisses have been thrown around and trying to masquerade as a plea for equal rights, when in reality, they're trying to, in essence, disenfranchise the majority group as a kind of retribution. It has always confused me when people have tried to turn away or silence majority voices in support of a minority case. While not always the most helpful to the cause, without majority support, equality can never be achieved. And while true equality may be a pipe dream, we only get there by working together. And to set the record straight, I agree that someone calling themselves an ally without taking any action is kind of crappy. It's better to be an ally than an enemy. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, like, it's... I don't know. I guess I just hope people just do your heart, you know? Do whatever's in your heart. But I personally find ally odd. It makes me weird. John wrote, since graduating college in 2012, I've had a job that with passable pay for my experience level and city. I'm currently living with my parents. I pay them rent, which gives them some extra money, and I get home-cooked meals, which is a win-win. Or is it? Sometimes I feel that I'm living the stereotype of the grown adult living in their parents' basement. Do you think that it's worth it to financially support the family in this way? Or is it better to go out and, quote, grab life by the horns by going out and getting an apartment? I can afford it, but is it just change for change's sake? Am I romanticizing being off by myself? I know I shouldn't let what other people think pressure me one way or another, but I'm not sure which way is best. All right. John, there's a couple things to unpack here. Number one, if your parents need financial help and you are living with them to give them financial help because of something that is out of their control, like a disability, an illness, old age, something like that, then disregard the rest of this advice. You need to be there for your family to the extent you deem appropriate. But if it's not, and this is just about you, then let me say this. It is of great benefit to get the fuck out of your house. Oh my God. Such a huge thing. Yes, it might be a waste of money. Yes, it might not be necessary. Yes, it might be something that you just can't think of any logical reason why you should do it. And that's why you need to leave. Because getting the fuck out and shaking up your life is something that you need to have if you want to roll with life's punches. If you really want to understand that there are sacrifices to be made, I think you need to get out. There's also a great self-esteem that comes from paying your own bills. And you might not realize that you are living on methadone until you get the true fucking heroin shot of what it means to clear your own fucking monthly nut. It just makes you feel like, I am all that is fucking adult. I control fire! And then you turn on your stove because you've paid the gas bill. Stephanie writes, Thursday night, I was at the Ohio State versus Northwestern men's basketball game. I had the game on in the background. With 0.8 seconds in the game, the officials went to review video to determine how much time to put on the clock. This was taking a while. And where one would expect something like the Jeopardy theme, the DJ at the end of the game started playing the Serial theme. This went for about 30 seconds. Acceptable or no? I thought it was an incredibly strange and possibly inappropriate choice of music. Deducing how much time is left on a shot clock should not be compared to solving a murder mystery. Right? Love the show. I know, it was love the show, though. The frog pants greeting. Stephanie, no, I think it was entirely appropriate. You want to know why? Because serial's an entertainment show. It's not a fucking murder investigation. It should be treated with the exact same reverence as a fucking Ohio State versus Northwestern basketball game. We don't know any more about this fucking murder, which, by the way, got an appeal trial this week. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, like, I don't even remember when I got the appeal trial. Well, you got it this week, Adnan.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I got this appeal trial.
You did. So, no, I mean, like, Serial's a podcast. It's a podcast like this. And, like, that's a more popular podcast. You can say it is discussing more serious subject matter, but that doesn't stop the fact that it's entertainment. By the way, you want to hear an entertainment rant? Go, I'm sure it's online somewhere. Paul Heyman did a, like, in kayfabe rant about Brian Williams that's way better than the one I did. But he talked about all about why Brian Williams is an entertainer. Carl writes, "Dear jury, once in a while when I've heard you make up a fake last name, I notice you tend to use the last name McGillicuddy. I notice the last name is a term on Urban Dictionary, but I'm curious, when did you start using it as your go-to fake last name and what led you to start using it? I think McGillicuddy just sounds funny, and I believe I got it because it's Lucy's maiden name on I Love Lucy." So, fucking there's some shit I remember from Nick at Night 15 years ago. Alejandro writes, "I know you don't want to do a political show, which I'm glad about, except for tonight. But how about doing a show expanding your views on how people should get less heated and welcome debate in different topics as a more constructive means? I've seen people get so angry and scream when discussing political subjects, so much so that I just don't talk about them to anybody but my wife, kids, and heterosexual life mates." Alejandro, you want to know what? I could do a rant about it, but I feel like I've talked about, like, people trying to collect on things we agree on and use the things we disagree on fun jumping off points enough. I try to live by example, man. Like, I want to be a friendly person that people can discuss stuff about. And I know I will have failed when I start getting emails that are like, "I fucking hate the politics discussions." Because then I feel like I'm not presenting them well enough. Like, I feel like I'm trying to throw gasoline on a fire when really, like, I just want to talk about the basics, the mechanics. And if I swear agnosticism about what I love about politics, which is truly agnostic, like, I am not a, like, oh, I want to think about this so Republicans can win, or I want to think about this so Democrats can win, or so independents can win. Like, I really just love the process, the chess of it. That I feel like I should be able to talk to people about that. And so far, I haven't gotten a lot of fucking "I hate politics" emails. But if you fucking hate the politics shit, then go ahead and hit me up. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. Chris writes, "Hey, jury, this year started out super shitty. We had to move out of our house due to mold growing inside the walls from a renovation project that went wrong. All my family was becoming ill, so we packed up so we could run away and rent an apartment across town. Now we are waiting on the HOA to fix the problem, and they are still trying to figure out what to do. Here come the lawyers. I really do not know when we get to go home. Maybe this summer. Between conversations with my lawyers, HOA reps, and contractors, I get the call that my father needs open-heart surgery. Arg! I know there's a large portion of the world's population that has it worse than I do, and I struggle with that. Is it unfair for me to complain about my life when a great many people don't have the simplest necessities in life, while I am actually very fortunate? Is it reasonable to say things are shitty for my family while watching the news and the horrors that take place in faraway lands every day? Is my life a life of first world problems and not quote-unquote real problems?" I think first world problems would be an appropriate answer, by the way. Anyway, you made the beginning of each week a little better, and I thank you from the bottom of my first world heart. All right, here's my theory on this. It's not about what you bitch about. It's about how you qualify the rest of your life when you're not bitching. If you make it very, very clear that you live a first world problem life and you say, listen, man, I'm in a great position in life, and then bitch about something, then I believe that you have set up a proper context around yourself. Now, obviously, pick the right company. Talk to your friends. Talk to people at work. That kind of stuff. But always try to represent yourself to the fullest possible capacity and then get to your bitching if you are a public bitching kind of person. Now, here's where you don't want to do that. Don't do it while other people are complaining about problems that are legitimately worse. So, for example, somebody says, I got evicted from my apartment. Don't follow up with, yeah, the HOA is really fucking me and my family out of here. I don't know what kind of settlement I'm going to get from my lawyers. Sympathy for the larger problems. And that's it. It's all you are wanted for. Now, later on, people get their shit together. Then tell your story. Everybody will have the appropriate amount of pity for you if you just save it for the right time. And now let's go ahead and get into our dirty middle school song corner. I have asked you guys to please send in dirty middle school rhymes that you remember. I'm going to do these for as many weeks as we get one. And I got like 5 or 6 this week. Keep sending them in. They delight me. Crap, I didn't get the name. So I apologize for if I didn't get your name. Although you might not want to have your name on this anyway. Their nerdy, dirty middle school, song, the dirty middle school song corner is, Indian points imaginary dot to middle of forehead, Chinese index fingers in a way that I'm not going to do, pulling your eyes back, Japanese, imagine the reverse, look at these, points to boobs. If you remember any of these, go ahead and email them to me. And anything else you want to talk about, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, put jury in the subject line. Find this here podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, or some other shit. And also, hey, listen, you want to go on in there and toss a little review? A little review for your pal Jerbs? Oh, you're too nice. Twitter and Instagram, justinrobertyoung.com. Also hit me up on the Snapchat because I'm Snapchatting like a motherfucker on there. Join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. And we are only $12 away from getting a Celebrity Jizz Impression album for everybody. In fact, I might do it this week. So if we hit $12 this week, it might be the second that we get to $400 an episode that it just gets emailed out. I can't promise that, but it might be. Bitch, it might be. Go ahead on over there, patreon.com/JURY. Just trying to goose it a little bit. You are as a goose if you fucking go on over there and get it up over 400. And everybody else who is already a El Patron, they will be happy. Because a Celebrity Jizz Impression album will be in your motherfucking inbox. But folks, if you listening to me talk about politics makes you want to pull your hair out, what do you say we both just leave? If you have nearly lost your job at the NBC Nightly News, if you are in need a truth robot malfunctioning, well, and all I can tell you is when you are at your deepest and darkest hour, you look deep inside yourself, and when all the fog clears, you see a picture of me wearing a resplendent Ric Flair robe, looking you dead in the eyes and pleading, please don't die! Fucking post like a champ. Woo! Do you like how your hair gets cut?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.